إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, Allah سبحانه وتعالى in Surah Al-Baqarah said, يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. Which means, O you who believe, يا أيها الذين آمنوا is a form of address. Anytime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used this refers directly to the individual, and it is a hukum, it's an instruction and order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it applies equally to men and women. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, is not only men. O you who believe is all believing men and all believing women, whether it is man or woman. This is not gender specific, it is a inclusive statement, and it is a direct hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, direct order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it has to be obeyed. If it is not obeyed, then we are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fis silmi kafatan. O you who believe, enter into Islam completely. Kafatan, not partially, completely. وَلَا تَتَّبِيُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Allah is not saying do not follow shaitan. He is saying do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Verily, he is your open and clear enemy. Not hidden enemy. Is not some secret. Very open and very clear. Now, three things to understand. Number one is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He is ordering us to enter into Islam completely. Today, if you look at our lives, whether individually or collectively, whether as individuals or as countries, illa mashallah, I don't make a statement on behalf of everyone in the world, but definitely I can make a complete clear statement with regard to countries, but for individuals, there are exceptions. Illa mashallah, I don't think there is a single instance where a Muslim is completely and totally inside Islam, completely and totally following Islam. Take countries for example. The only thing on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war on behalf of himself and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on interest-based banking. The only thing, nothing else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not declare war even on shirk or kufr. Allah did not declare war on consumption of alcohol or pork or fornication or murder. Allah, all of these are major crimes. All of these are punishable. We are not saying they are good things. But Allah did not make a declaration of war. The only thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a declaration of war on is interest-based banking. Consumption of interest, so giving, lending money, borrowing money on interest. Now, if you look at countries, there is not one single Muslim country which has banned interest-based banking. Even those who claim to have Sharia as their law, if you actually look at there, all that they have implemented from the Sharia is the criminal code, not the civil code, the criminal code. So, if a thief is caught and if he is convicted, then you chop his hand. There is capital punishment, so you chop somebody's neck off or whatever. But other than that, my point is, if you have the Sharia law and you are chopping hands and necks, how come you allow interest-based banking, which is the ultimate of haram? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared war against the one who does this, and you permit this. You permit this, you have banks which are run, which have government funds in them, and the bank and the government allows them. How is this possible? I can give you many more examples. I don't think it's required. I think this is enough to understand. Similarly, at an individual level, I don't have to point it. Let us look at ourselves and say, am I implementing Islam completely in my life? Or am I picking and choosing that which I like? I am famous for talking about the beard. It's not a question of shaving or not shaving. It's not a question of, it's not a fashion statement. It indicates an attitude. And the attitude is, even if something is to be done, I will do it if I feel like doing it. That is a very big problem. That is a very, very, very big problem. Because we are putting our own desire before the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, many other things. Take for example, inheritance. Right? We like to say that Islam, there is no justice, and you know, women are oppressed and they don't have. The reality of inheritance is that men do not give women their inheritance. This is a fact. People swallow up their, the brothers swallow up the inheritance of the sisters. They do not give the sister their, her inheritance, especially in our culture. And then, and to compound the evil, you say, oh, you know, my father spent this much on your dowry. He spent this much on your wedding. Now, to spend on the wedding of your daughter, in any case, in Islam, there is no room for that. Absolutely no room, because Islam, there is no need. I mean, the man is the one who comes, brings the proposal, gives the mahar, you know, the nikah is done in the masjid, it costs you nothing, and then he takes the girl home, and then he does the walima. Where is the question, or where is the scope for the bride's parents to spend on the wedding of their daughter? The maximum thing which ulama have allowed is that if the bride's parents wish, then what they can do is to participate in the expense of the walima. Not a separate party or a dawat on the day of the nikah or before or after. But in the walima, you say, okay, since we are you know, also inviting our guests, so let us split the cost, and you pay for your guests, we pay for our guests. Alhamdulillah, this is fair, there is no problem. That is, that can be done. So where is the question of spending? So now, first of all, the father spends, gives dowry and spends on the wedding, and then the sons, they use this as an excuse to deprive their sister from her inheritance. And then you blame the religion and you say, there is no justice in Islam. Now, the point is, it's very simple. Supposing I have a car and I say that I will fill gas, no problem. But why should I worry about tire pressure? That's too much trouble. So forget it, let the tire go flat. Will the car run? Supposing I say, who is interested in the lube oil, lubricant? Forget lubricant, we don't need it. It's too much trouble. I am putting in gas, I am putting in petrol. What will happen to the car? Engine will cease, that's the end of the story. No matter, you have a full tank, your tires are you know, in perfect condition, but your engine is seized because there is no lubricant, it all dried up and everything is seized. We understand this principle of doing everything correctly and fully in every aspect of our lives except for deen. Take health for example. You know and I know that if we are going to neglect our health, even in one aspect, supposing you are eating the wrong food, but you are doing a lot of exercise, you find that there is no change in anything. I go for a walk to KBR Park. There are people there who I have seen for easily 10 years, regularly coming for walks and doing that whole chakkar. There is no change in them. For 10 years, there is no change in them. If anything, they have become more flabby and more fat. Because the eating habits don't change, you know. I mean, you go for a walk in KBR Park and then you feel justified now in eating a second helping of biryani and some more sweets. I mean, we understand this principle in our life in everything except Islam. We understand that if you want success from something, you have to do it fully and completely. You cannot get success if you are going to do something half-heartedly, partially. You know, one day I do it, one day I don't do it. You will not be successful. But with deen, we don't understand this. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا تَتَّبِيُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. See the beauty of the bayan of the Quran. Allah is not saying, do not follow shaitan. When you say, do not follow somebody, what does it mean? It means that person is there in front of you, is going, and you are following that person. Do not follow the footsteps means what? It means that person himself is not there. All you have is the sign of his passage. Now, if you are going to follow the sign of the passage, where is the onus of responsibility? Who is responsible? If somebody was at least in front of you, you could have made some excuse and said, you know, he told me this or that, or he took me by the hand, or he is not there. He is not there on the scene at all. All that you have are some footsteps. Now, I am following those footsteps. Whose responsibility is it? How am I going to blame Shaitan for this? It's my responsibility. I decided to follow the footsteps. Allah is saying, do not follow the footsteps of Shaitan. And then Allah reinforces and said, he is your open and clear enemy. There is nothing good that is going to come to you from Shaitan. Don't get fooled by this. Anything which comes from Shaitan is by definition evil. What is that which comes from Shaitan? That which is the opposite of what comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Ar-Rahman. Very simple. How do I know it is from Shaitan? If it is going against what Allah has told me, then it is from Shaitan. There is no third party involved, right? So anything that comes to me, check it with what Allah has told us. Somebody brings a great financial scheme. Here is an investment opportunity. Please invest. He says, hold on a second. Let me check here. This investment opportunity of yours, does it fit in with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted? It fits in, alhamdulillah, no problem. Let's go ahead. It does not fit in, sorry. I will not do it. No matter what kind of persuasion, sorry, I am not, because this is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's going against the law of Allah, therefore it is from Shaitan, I will not do it. لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me clearly, I will not do it because my life will be destroyed because of this thing. If you look at it, and then that is the reason why, like I gave the example of the car. Even though the car is there, even though it's a beautiful car, but because you don't take care of one aspect of it, you cannot enjoy it. And that is what has happened to us and Islam. Even though we have the most beautiful religion in the world, even though it's a divine religion which has come directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are unable to enjoy it because we have decided that we are going to do some things and we are going to leave some things. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Are you going to take some things from the kitab and leave some other things? That which you don't like, you will leave. And for such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then what has Allah promised the people to do this? Allah says, khizyun fil hayati dunya. First thing is difficulty in this life. Allah is promising difficulty, constriction, trials, tribulations, masaib, musibat, problems in this life. Khizyun fil hayati dunya. Wa yawma al-akhirati yuradduna ila ashaddil adab. And Allah said, on the day of judgment, they will be turned back towards the worst of punishments. For whom? Not for people who have completely rejected the deen. No, this is for people who are, we are Muslims, but I will do what I feel like doing. I will do what I like to do. If that happens to be according to the will of Allah, alhamdulillah, no problem. But if it happens to be against the will of Allah, also no problem. This is the problem. This is the issue. This is our issue today. This, if you look at it, as I said, illa mashallah, may Allah make us among those exceptions. But illa mashallah, this is how the Muslim is living his or her life individually and collectively. And that is why we are in this mess. Simple problem, simple solution. What shall we do? Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Forget about everybody else. Don't worry who approves, who does not approve. None of them is going to come into my cover. Do what Allah told us to do. Leave what Allah told us to leave. If somebody does not like it, no problem. If they like it, alhamdulillah, makes no difference either way, because we are following what Allah has told us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to bless us with that and to help us and to stay away from the خطوات of شيطان. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.